Have a seat.
Thought I would do something. That I would do something that would distract you. So, Luke chapter 23. I was admonished by my wife to mention a few my bicycle stories. How many of you have heard some of my bicycle stories? I came to college in the summer of 1982, and you're gonna do it right. And this wimpy whistling. Came in the summer of 82 and I got a job within a few days, but I was advised not to take the job. And so I was walking around and going up and down Route 30. I had a crushed velour red coat and hot snot on a silver platter. And a guy from my home church was driving towards the mall, and he said, "Hey, have you applied at Baker's Poppin' Fresh Pies back then? It's now Sophia's Pancake Shop." But I said no, and so I went in there, I applied. Some of you have heard the story recently that is amazing how I got the job. That's why I never switched jobs, because I knew God gave me that job. But I didn't have a way to get to work, and so one of my roommates said, "Well, I have a bike. Would that be helpful to you?" And I said, "Great, man, that would be great." He said, "There's only one problem. It doesn't have a seat. It's just got the pole. The seat came off." And so the rest of July and August and into September, I'm riding a seatless bike. You know, I did check this out. I Googled seatless bikes. And you can buy a seatless bike. I mean, talk about it. People buy seatless bikes from $200 to $2,000 for a bike without a seat. Anyway, so I did that for 2 months, and then somebody else felt sorry for me. They must have seen me riding down Route 30. From the front of the college to front of Baker Square was 5 miles. And so somebody felt sorry, so they gave me, the first bike was blue, the second bike they gave me was blue, had a seat, the second bike had a seat, that was good. And right about this time of the year, it was actually December 4th, I don't know why I remember that date, but I was riding to work and my chain broke on the bike, and so I ended up having to walk the rest of the winter. Matter of fact, that Christmas, on Christmas Day, it was 70 degrees, and visiting the bus route in short sleeve shirts in Chicago. So then in 1983, a guy named Jack Underwood, he said, "Hey, I have a bike you could borrow." And I said, "Wow, that'd be great, Jack." And I was riding a bike. It was in the fall. And I was riding over here by Pine Island. And I've never seen one since, never saw one before, but there was a semi parked right on the road there. And I had my head down. It was really windy, and my head was kind of down. I was looking at the road, but kind of popping up. And then I really felt like the Holy Spirit said, "Better look up." And I looked up just in time to throw my hands in front of my face, because it was the back of the semi. The fender of the semi would have cracked my skull. The bike went under the truck, broke in half. And so I'm walking to work with two pieces of bike. That's slightly humbling, I'm just telling you. But my next bike, the spring of 84, it was a black bike. I had no reflectors or anything. And I got stopped at Pine Island, the hill. I was coming home from work one night, and police officer stopped me. "Can you imagine getting pulled over?" Yeah, how fast was I going, officer? He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "How's Emerson College?" He said, "That figures." He said, "You know, there's no I can't see you. I couldn't see you at all. I was coming over the hill, and I couldn't even see you." So that prompted me to stop at Kmart when there was a Kmart. But on that black bike, I got hit. I was coming home from work one night, and some teenagers drove by. I thought it was fun to throw a chocolate milkshake at the side of my head. And he said, "How did you know it was chocolate?" Because I went, "Yep, that's chocolate." And then another night, some other teenagers, maybe it was the same teenagers, I don't know, but I got hit in the head with a pack of French fries right in the side of the head. But I wasn't able to grab one of those. But that black bike, I was riding it in the spring, the following spring I was riding it right in front of Bozak's here on Route 30. There was an abandoned Cadillac or a Lincoln Continental, I'm not sure which one. It was a spring day, beautiful, I was enjoying the weather, living where God lives. And the Holy Spirit said, look up, and I looked up, and there was the fence. I was going too fast, I couldn't put the brakes on, how many of you ever heard of a flying fish? I went... Is that a flying fish? Oh, there you go. Anyway, my bike hit the fender. The front tire broke off, and I went flying over and I just, in my mind, I pictured a mom and her daughter driving in the car coming the other way. Mom, that guy's going to hit. Oh, he did. He hit. And then I have a few other bicycle stories, but we'll save those for another time. I tell you, there were 12 of us. There was a Spanish lady on a big day. She said we didn't have time to go to McDonald's, so she gave us tostados. And we had, with fresh lettuce, fresh tomatoes, sour cream. But she didn't tell us that the refried beans had sat on the stove overnight. So 12 bus workers got. Now, we didn't get sick. We went to Sunday night church. Everything was fine. And that next morning, I couldn't. My stomach was churning. Ran down to the bathroom several times on Rice 2. And my roommates, I never missed class. I mean, not even for being tired. But that night, I called Brother Piper, and I said, I just don't think I can make it out on grounds. And so he let me have the day off. And then I rode to work. I rode to Baker Square, and they were doing some road construction. And there were some barricades right in front of the McDonald's over there, and I my head was down, my head was throbbing, and so I ran over the barricade, and it bent my fender or my rim, and I finally got to Baker Square and on time, but it was rough. And I got to work, and my boss said, "What are you doing here? You look like death warmed over," and so he sent me home, but I couldn't go home, so I had to wait for the janitor to come in at 11 o'clock. That was a 5, so I had to sleep in the back room, so. That's another bike story. Tell it. I just told it. Anyway. So I don't do very good with bikes. Anyway, Luke 20, 23. We're going to look at verse number 39. By the way, the reason I think my wife might tell you, sometimes when you get a pity party thing, man, I'm going through a rough time. Life is really rough for me. I'm just saying, you just suck it up. Whatever God allows to come into your path, you can go on. But Brother Larry, good night. Life is rough and then you die, okay? So just hang in there. Luke 23. Let's stand just for a second because I moved these plants for a reason. I'm going to show you in just a second. Luke 23, verse number 39. I'll read. You follow along silently and I'll read aloud. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear?" Now understand, I'm reading this normally, but these guys they're being crucified. So they're hanging. So that's how the words are coming out little by little. Just to kind of give you an idea, a lot of times people died. With crucifixion, you died of suffocation. The other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." How'd he know that? How'd he know that? He's a thief. He was a religious thief. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Again, he's like, "Lord, please remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless us. Help us to realize that the most important relationship that we can work on in our lives is with you. I pray that you'll help us. Help me to convey the information. Since I was asked several weeks ago, I've really felt that this is the direction you wanted me to go. And so I've been kind of stuck on this, and I pray that you'll help me to convey the information in an easy, understandable way in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'm on the, there we go, good. So I'll just slide this over. How did Brother House do it? Did he do it to the left or the right? Anyway, be like Brother House. Guys, you remember years ago, Brother Larry, Stacy Adams shoes, briefcase, cross pens? That's where the power of God was in the... I'm going to be kind of start this. I thought it's, in some of my classes, I will give a piece of paper. I really think that if you're going to date, you ought to have planned conversation. Brother Wilkerson mentioned that yesterday or the other day. But I think sometimes couples they date because they're insecure, and they have that they want it, they secure relationship, and then some are just in lust, and they there was a young man, he came his freshman year, and he met a girl that was here for a major, master's degree. And by Christmas, they were married. I thought, really? Anyway. But they're insecure, sometimes infatuated. They like being seen with somebody else. And I'm just saying that you wanna date to eventually fall in love. But can I just say this? I'll say this in my classes also. That your number one relationship is this way. Right. If you cultivate this relationship right here, then these relationships will take care of themselves.
Right.
And so the title of my message is, the most important relationship is with Him. With Him. Got a little illustration here. Wow, I can talk and you can hear me when I'm talking with my back to you. Okay. Got three crosses here. Work here. There we go. Hey, that's not clicking my heels, but that's pretty good for me. Whoops. This one kind of fell apart a little bit, but we'll fix that. You still with me there? All right, I hear you breathing behind me. Now, I guess we have all heard Jesus died in the middle, and he was, you know, a lot of times we hear, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Okay, no, I'm not going to be singing in chapel. But, maybe. But the fact of the matter is, in Matthew chapter 27, the Bible does say that Jesus was in the middle. So you have a thief on one side, and we'll call this the right side, and then the left. Okay, not political, but the left. Can you see Jesus there? I was going to put some red marks on there for blood, but anyway, we'll let it go. So Jesus. Okay, he was all tempted like in all points like we are, yet without sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He became a murderer. He became a thief. He became a molester. He became an abuser. He became a liar, a cheat. Everything repulsive to human society, he became for us. Here's a thief. Now, the Bible doesn't say he was a Catholic thief or a Baptist thief. He was a thief. And his partner in crime on the other side. Now, one spot in the Bible, it says that they both railed on him. Come on! No, notice this. Notice the wording there in Luke 23. If thou be the Christ, and my mind went back. That's exactly how the devil approached Jesus in Matthew chapter 4.
Right. Right.
So here's a man saying the same thing as the devil did. Yeah, if you're God, if you're real, he's real. He's real in my heart. I know he is. So here's a thief. They both owe a penalty for the crime they committed. They're both paying the penalty for the crime, crucifixion. It's very humbling. Very, very, the Roman government was, they didn't care about, you know, a lot of times people say that, that Jesus was on a high and lifted up. And I understand high and lifted up on the cross, but they didn't care to give him any kind of prominence. They hated his guts. By the way, he never rebuked the government. He never said anything bad necessarily about them. You say anything bad about the president? I mean, I don't agree with anything. I mean, I don't even really like him. But I prayed for him today because I'm commanded to pray for him. Heard a guy one time, he was talking when President Obama was in office. He was criticizing the president. He said, "What do you think about that, Mike?" And I said, "Well, I pray for him every day." He said, "Why do you pray for him every day?" I said, "Because the Bible commands me to." And he said, "Oh, use the Bible. It's going to put unsaved people in their place." Fish need water, so here we go. A little for my gills. Here we go. The phrase, with him, is used 463 times. Most of those times do not refer to God or Jesus. I'm watching my time. With me, Jesus said, this day you will be with me. Today you shall be with me in paradise. That phrase is used 18 times specifically in the Gospels. With the Lord is used 19 times. With God. Enoch walked with God. Mentioned twice. Must have been important to God to mention it twice. Noah walked with God. He was a friend of God because he walked with God. Who's your friend? Who's your friend? And then the Bible says that the Word was with God. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Then the Bible tells us that God was with Ishmael. He was with Solomon. He was with Asa, King Asa. He was with Joseph. He's with Jesus. Here's the first point I have. In death, Jesus was concerned about a sinner. He came to seek and to save those that were. See, that's, I have a problem with Reformed theology. We're all lost. Jesus only died for a certain number of people. He just the elect. My Jesus died for everybody.
Right. Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten
right.
Son.
Amen.
I'm just saying. You're going to hear a lot of goofy, weird stuff out there. Stay off the internet. Seriously, there's a lot of junk on the internet. I think your generation, the Zoomers, see, you've grown up and all you've known is cell phones. You don't. We used to have a dial. Okay. I can remember we had a party line at home. I'd answer the phone and I'd say, "Hey, this is WBBM, and we have a and I'd play little games with the people that would pick up the phone and whatnot, laughing and lying through my teeth. Son of Man, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the difference between an eternal destiny of one sinner and another is a relationship with Jesus.
Right.
Watch, don't miss this. How close? Maybe they were the same distance apart. One went to heaven and one went to hell. Well, you know, I died next to Jesus. So?
Right, come on, amen.
Just because people know Jesus doesn't mean they're going to go to heaven. Just because they go to church.
Amen.
I'm just saying, I grew up Catholic and I had a very diverse background. Yesterday was my spiritual birthday. After a Wednesday night Bible study in a Baptist church, I went home and I said, "You know what? I don't even remember what the Bible study was about, but I remember thinking to myself, I'm not saved." Got on my knees beside my bed, said, "Dear Jesus, please save my despicable soul." Can you imagine? Here's a guy, this guy over here, and that guy over there, they're the same proximity to Christ. Jesus didn't say, "Both of you guys are going to be with me." Whoa, why would a loving God send people to hell? They don't. God doesn't take hostages. If they don't want to live with God, he says, "You know what? There's only one alternative. It's not purgatory.
Right.
Not the happy hunting ground." Amen. The value of a sinner is not dependent upon works.
Amen.
Get that out of the faith. Well, you know, if I pass my classes, God loves me. No, he doesn't. He loves you no matter what you do.
Right.
He loves you because he's God. He is love. Right. By the way, watch this. God is love. Jesus is love. That means Jesus is God.
Amen.
God is light. Jesus is light. Guess what? Jesus is God. I remember talking to a guy one time. He says, you trying to tell me that Jesus is God? I said, no. The Bible's telling us that Jesus is God. But a close relationship with Jesus is dependent on what you do. If you're doing wrong and you know you're doing wrong, and I'm going to say something here, but you know, young ladies, if a guy is going to break the rules at home, here in the church and whatnot, we all know how we're supposed to behave and act. And if he'll take those kind of liberties dating you, maybe he'll take more liberties when you're married. I don't know.
Well, come on.
The Apostle Paul, with his storied past, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Memorized the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Fasted 2 days a week. Gave tithes of everything he had, even his mints. He had a mint, and he tithed on his lifesaver mint. We kind of laugh at it, but that's what he did. He figured the cost of a mint, and he would tithe on it. Everything.
Good.
What? All thy increase.
Right.
Get a birthday present, Christmas present,
come
whatever. Get,
come on.
Save this for later. This is a treat, not a hint. Okay. All right. But the Apostle Paul... I have to show you this. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Just for the fun of it. This is the kind of guy Paul was, or Saul. Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad, all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison and to die. Can you imagine when he got saved? That's why people doubted who he was. You know, whoa, this is some kind of affront. He's going to get me to commit to something. And I'm just saying. It was real. Some of you have seen in my own personal soul winning, and every once in a while. And by the way, those aren't the Red Sea miracle that kind of conversions that we. Sometimes people are looking for God. But every once in a while, you're going to find somebody. I showed somebody the other day a picture of what I used to look like when I was your age. Long hair. And I'm not bragging on this, but pot smoking, beer drinking. The secular college I went to, they endorsed beer parties in the dorms. I'm just saying. That was my life for a year. Then I quit because I knew I was hurting my body, but I never went back because I got saved. The Apostle Paul, he said, here's his relationship with Jesus. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose not, I want not. For I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And sometimes God's going to allow you to go through some tough times so you can be a help to other people.
Right.
Seriously. Some of you have unbelievable paths. So punch the devil in the face and just keep going. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says that we which are alive, I'm skipping some of the verse there, shall we ever be with the Lord at the rapture. What we call the rapture. It's not a Bible word, but it means joy, ecstasy, like when the Cubs won the World Series. Yeah! John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me.
Amen.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you.
Right.
Then why didn't anybody show up at the tomb when he said, After 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. 72 hours. Where were they? Well, we believe you, Jesus. I'll die for you, Jesus. Now, where I am, there ye may be also. The place is exciting, but the best part of heaven is get to be with Jesus.
Amen. Right.
Next, works are a tangible way for you to show God you love him. When our daughter was little, of course our boys too, but now this, I borrowed this from Evelyn, hon. Little clay right here. Watch this. Watch the response of this clay.
Hey, stand up.
I can do ventriloquism too.
Hey, quit that. Don't do that to me.
See? I can do it with my mouth.
Look, I can talk without my mouth being seen.
What was the response? Yielding. Yielding. When our granddaughter pokes it and punches it, she's only 4 years old, but the clay yields to her.
Right.
Who am I to tell God what he's doing in my life?
Amen. Good.
Don't you know what you're doing, God?
Well, come on.
You know the best part of marriage? With her. It's just not a matter of being married. But the best part of marriage is I get to live with her. And by the way, when I was dating, I found out what her was like. Bad grammar, but good truth. Brother Howes, you say if you know why you're making a mistake, it's okay to make the mistake. That's why when I walk down the hall, when I say how you is, how you be, how you is, how you am, okay, I know what I'm saying. By works, one's life shows a close relationship with Christ. Girls, it wouldn't be wrong for you to say, hey, would you learn in your Bible today?
That's good. Man. Come on.
Every date wasn't a spiritual date, but every once in a while. And even as a married, 34 years being married, sometimes we'll talk about what we learn in the Bible and have scriptural Bible discussions.
Good.
And I'm afraid for some of you. I don't know what you taught. You're always together. Anyway, that's fishology. That's the Bible according to fish. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Promise from God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded. Each man is the sum total of how he responds to Christ day by day. Go ahead and stick that up. Who's up there, Daniel? With Jesus, I can make it today. With Jesus, I can learn to trust and pray. With Jesus, he's the truth, the life, the way. So I will stay with Jesus. Sing it with me. With Jesus, I don't have to always know. With Jesus, I can follow where he goes. With Jesus, I should never tell him no. So I will say, with Jesus, when the journey is long and my way is unsteady, when the road is so hard and the burdens are heavy, with Jesus I know he will carry my load, for he is able and ready. With Jesus, I can make it today. With Jesus, I can learn to trust and pray. With Jesus, he's the truth, the life, the way. So I will stay with Jesus. That was written after a child died in an accident. And he and his wife have stayed by the stuff.
Amen.
Works after salvation do not increase your value.
Right.
Works after salvation do increase your closeness and relationship with Jesus. See, this guy, let's see, the right guy on the right, he didn't have a chance. He got saved and he went to heaven, and that's it. No rewards, right? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He didn't lay up any rewards other than maybe what we learn in the Bible and his testimony from being saved on the cross and then being killed after they broke his legs. So maybe some residual rewards. But you and I, we got a chance while we're still breathing air to lay up for treasures in heaven.
Right.
But why do we do that? For the rewards? No, I just wanted to do it with Jesus. I love, you know, growing up, there was a guy at the YMCA. His name was Rick, and that's all we call him Ranger Rick because he had a phenomenal three-point shot. I knew he was married. I knew he had at least two kids. He never ever talked about them. I don't even know how I knew he was married and had two kids. But I love talking about my wife. I love spending time. I'd rather spend time with my wife than with anybody else. Anybody. Seriously. And part of that is, here's this relationship here. We both cultivate. I was teaching an Acts class for Brother Snipes yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah. No, Wednesday. Aquila and Priscilla. God used them as a team to punch the devil in the eye and get Apollos saved. See, that's what you ought to do. The guys ought to... My wife was in Division 11, a little bit inferior division, and I was in Division 10. And but we used to talk about how things went in our divisions. And by the way, when we got engaged, I said, you stay in Division 11, I'll stay in Division 10, because I don't want to be distracted from being engaged and sitting in the back of the bus and going, and letting all the world go to hell. And the bus kids, Brother Fish, can I talk to you? No, I'm talking to my girlfriend.
Well, come on.
Meh. Works. Has your relationship with Jesus increased since you believed? I'll kind of end with this, kind of tying in the dating and whatnot, but I was talking with a young man. He came to college here, started dating a young lady when he was a freshman in August, and they dated very seriously, pretty much every chapel service, every church service, every meal. After 5 months, about February the spring semester, he came to my office, and he looked very, very upset, and he said, Brother Fish, I think I'm going a little bit too fast. And I appreciated the fact that he was honest, and I said, well, I guess you know what you need to do. Oh, no, here's the big question, the 64-cent question. I said, how's your walk with Jesus been since you've been to college? He said, when I was in my home church, I was one of the best, the number one teen spiritually, soul winning. He said, since I came to college here, he said, my spirituality is dependent on chapel and church. I hardly spend time with God, with Jesus. Can I just encourage you? The most important relationship. By the way, if you love Jesus, then you work on that relationship with I got to tell you this story. I told it in one of my classes, the Forced Gratitude assignment in Comp 1. But I had a young lady. I said, you need to write a letter to your grandparents and tell them you love them and something you appreciate about them. She said, I don't have a good relationship with my grandparents. I said, good time to start. So she wrote a letter. She got a check back in the mail, $25. I said, don't forget, the teacher gets a 40% cut. Before the semester ended, she had to go to Ohio for a funeral. She came back, and she said, Brother Fish, she said, I didn't know how much my words would mean to my grandparents, because we don't have a good relationship. She said, but my letter was in a frame on the end of the casket. Just saying, I think that relationship, get this relationship right, and all these other ones will take care of themselves. Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, the most important relationship is with him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, you are a great God. You're worthy of all the attention that we can give you. And I pray that you'll bless these young people. I remember coming to college here and hearing sermons like this and yearning that my relationship with you, it can't, I remember thinking to myself, my relationship wasn't like Brother Hiles and other people, but it was a unique relationship that I had with you. Pray that you bless these young ladies and these young men. Help them to realize how much you want to spend time with them. Help them in every aspect of their lives. That most important relationship that we can cultivate is with you.